Come on and praise his name this morning. Come on and praise him. First Chronicles 21, 22 through 24. Love never fails. We live in a society today in which everybody, it seems, wants to be in charge. It seems like it's so hard to get people to submit in this day. And it's easy for us to look at the people and say that the people have issues. The people have drifted away from God. It's easy for us to blame someone if we choose not to look at ourselves. People will submit if your character and integrity is worth submitting to.
Amen.
It disturbs me in relationship counseling when sometimes, and I got to pick for a minute, when men wonder why their wives and or soon to be won't submit to them. When the last 2, 3, 5 years you've drove us into bankruptcy.
All right now.
All of your decisions have been bad decisions.
All right.
You gambled with the money, you played lotto with the other. And you want me to submit to you?
All right.
Maybe we should add smoking crack in that list. Submission is when you come under the authority of someone.
Yeah.
Submission is a two-way street. I submit to you and you submit to me.
That's it.
It's not something where I get to hide and say it only applies to you.
Mm.
Because the truth of the matter is, when the two become one, you submitting to me and I have your vision is simply you submitting to where we as a team is going.
That's right.
Submission requires faith.
Right.
Now, faith could be manifested in different ways. When I say faith, I'm talking about Hebrews 11 faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So this faith is manifested when a person begins to catch the vision that you have. Faith is manifested when a person sees the promises that has been spoken. But just as faith can be manifested, faith can be masked. In other words, the opposite of submission through faith will lead about a person not believing in what you're doing. It would lead about distrust, where everything you say and everything you do, a person have to analyze what you say and what you do. And maybe the reason that person is analyzing what you say or what you're doing is because you don't have the best track record.
All right, man.
The track record is how you've been doing your business all along. And so if you've been falling short, don't expect for me to just close my eyes and just blindly follow.
Amen.
Now, I can submit and follow you, but part of me following you is for me to seek God and ask God for a spiritual discernment on the matter.
All right, man.
Discernment is sometimes when I can't name it or call it, I just feel it in my spirit. When I don't know how to describe it, but I just know I don't have peace because God is not giving me peace from what you're saying. When God gives you discernment, always trust what God is saying inside of you, even beyond what you can see. God will lead you to a place, cause you to be totally blind and in darkness physically while you're there, and he says, trust me. Well, how can I trust you, God, if I can't see you? Because he's saying, you don't need to see me to follow me. You just need to trust me. Faith cannot be explained. Faith must be followed. If you're in a relationship and you always have to explain yourself, it's because the person doesn't see your vision. If the person doesn't see your vision, you have a duty and an obligation to back up and say, what is it that caused this person not to trust the God in me? Now, if there's no God in you, don't expect a child to God, a child of God, to trust you. Because it's not you that they're trusting, it's the Spirit of God that dwells in you. Now, if the Spirit of God is not dwelling in you, it means that you're not a child of God. Now, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge I get from reading, from just being aware, from being exposed. I just know that from what I see. Wisdom comes from God and God alone. Wisdom is when you can take the knowledge and you can apply it into some common and practical way to get something done. You've met educated fools before. Lot of book sense,
but no seeing.
Don't know how to apply. Give them a book, they can explain the book. Take the book and say, walk three steps, turn two backwards, you'll confuse them. Wisdom says, this is how I apply that. Wisdom says, this is how I move closer to God. Now, David found himself in a situation where he experienced this horrible thing with Bathsheba. He was in a relationship with another man's wife. He thought he could do his business, get out, and everything was cool. However, he left a child behind. The child is born. When the child is born, God begins to deal with them. God ends up taking the child. He says, okay, you got me, God. You took the child. While the child was alive, I was praying for the child. Now the child is dead. The child is not going to come back to me, but I can go to the child. In other words, God, I still have an opportunity. God graced him and fixed that thing and moved him into a position of leadership and allowed him to just begin to do remarkable things. And so he kept doing these great things. The King David got beyond himself and thought he was really doing it. I wonder if that is us this morning. When we look at our lives and we see some great things that God is blessing us with, and we think we did that all by ourselves. Just look at me. Look at where I live. Just look at me. Just look at what I'm driving. Just look at me and look at who I am in society. And God is saying, baby, had it not been for the grace of God, you would have done none of that. See, we have to realize that all that we have is a gift from God. It is the grace of God. So don't get big-headed and don't let your ego get ahead of you. God says to David, son, go on and do your business.
All right, now.
He's accomplishing things, And then he get cute one day. And he sends Joab out. He sends Joab out and he says, go count the people to see how many people I have on my side. Listen to that. Count the people to see how many I have on my side. In other words, he was about to go into battle. He wanted to know who was on his side. So he sends Joab out to count the people, but before Joab goes out, he says an amazing thing to David. In essence, he says to David, what difference does it make? Because even your enemy is God's people. You missed it. Listen, chapter number 21, verse number 3. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the king, listen to this, are they not all my Lord's servant? In other words, the haters and the enemies that you are fighting against, and you think that they are against you, you need to understand even your haters and your enemies belong to the Lord. That's why he says, I'll take your enemies and make them your footstool, because I still have power over them. So who you are looking at, what you're trying to fight, you don't need to fight. You need to begin to give God some praise, because every time somebody steps in your life, contrary to what God is showing you, that's a step to take you higher and higher and more blessing and more anointing and more grace and more mercy. And what you're fighting against is your blessings. They may look like your enemies, but God says, they're mine. In other words, I'm even in control of those that dislike you. Those that are fighting you, he says, I'm still in control of them. But we're trying to figure out, well, God, how can you be in control of my worst haters, of my enemies? He says, because if I wasn't in control, then I couldn't stop that season when I got ready to stop it. If I wasn't in control, I couldn't turn your darkness into days. If I wasn't in control, I couldn't stop the storm and turn it into sunshine. You better be glad that God is a sovereign God. God is omniscient, omnipresent, in control of everything, including my haters. And so, here it is. He says, why should we count them? Nevertheless, King, he says, I'll count them anyway. So he goes out and he counts the people. And when he goes out and he counts the people, what he discovered is that the people were greater than his army. That's not the problem. The problem is God showed up and God said, why did you do that? Because you've been having victory after victory. Combat after combat. I've been with you all along. I don't care if the odds has been against you. You've still been winning with him. I don't need for you to count the people. I need you to count your blessings. I need you to thank God for the little house you have. I need you to count your blessings. I need you to thank God for the whole car. I need you to thank God. Yes, some people walked out, but thank God for the ones that stayed. I need you not to count the people. But nevertheless, he says, since you counted the people, he says, I'm going to give you 3 choices. Now, I'm going to deal with you, David, but I'm going to let you pick your punishment. I remember as a child, y'all know my mom. She's not but that tall. She'll send you outside to get a switch. I'm talking to you. But she'll make you get 3. You know what she was going to do. She'll make you get 3. And she'll sit there and talk to you. And she'll braid them. Like it ain't about want to happen.
All right now.
You right?
Yep.
God said to David, choose your punishment. But here are the options. The first option, he says, 3 years of fasting. That's your first option. 3 years, no food. 3 years, you're going to barely get by. That's the first option. 3 years. The second option, it's only 3 months that I'll allow your enemies to take over you. Only 3 months. If you don't like that one, God says, I'll take 3 days and judge you. 3 years, 3 months, or 3 days. Now, I'm smart. So I would choose 3 days. Because my thinking is, it's soon going to be over. But what I did not get is that God can do in a second what it takes your enemies 30,000 years to do. David said, I'll pick. He says, God, don't put me in the hand of my enemies. He says, I'll turn myself over to you. So David says, God, I know that you are just God, and I know that you're going to judge me. He says, but go ahead. And so God says, I'm going to dispatch an angel. The angel comes down and the angel begins to wear David out. And God is sitting in heaven looking down, and notice how the angel is dealing with David. How he's taking David through something. Have you ever felt like God just put an angel in your life and made you begin to go through something? And I don't care how much money you have, you still can't fix the problem. I don't care how many friends you have, you still can't fix the problem. Listen, when God has some judgment upon you, you can't shake it. And so David found himself in 3 days, he was going through something, didn't know what to do. And he says, Lord, if it feels like this way, it feels like this on the first day, I don't know how I'm going to make it to the second day. And so there's God, a loving God, a God who's a God of a second chance. And David began to go through something, and the angel's wearing him out. And then all of a sudden, God looked in, and God says, stop!
All right.
You got to get it. Stop. Leave my David alone. I know he was wrong, but leave my child alone. I'm talking to somebody. What you got yourself into, you did it. But God is saying, leave my child alone. You may be guilty, but God is saying, leave my child alone. Now listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that God spoke to the angel, told the angel to stop. Not only did God tell the angel to stop, when God told the angel to stop, when God began to deal with David, he looked down and not only David, but all of David's people was in sackcloth. In other words, they had went into a place of fasting and praying. I don't know what you're going through. You need to move God. To fasting and praying. And the Bible declares, listen to this. You gotta get it. I close the Bible. But the Bible declares, listen, it says, and God repented. You don't hear me. I said David was wrong, but God repented. It's not God repented as though he did something wrong. It's God repented because he thought about, this is the bread that is broken for you. He thought about his body. He thought about what was to come. He thought about Jesus who was to die on a cross and says, now this is my body that is broken for you. He says, take the bread, eat, take the cup, filled with the fruit of the vine. that I have against you. You don't hear me. Because if you heard me, you'll understand the power of Holy Communion. Because you'll understand that David said to God, he says, I'm wrong. But listen, God, he says, I'll trust myself to you and not to my enemies. He says, 3 days with the Lord, I'll get through it. And the moment that he started, God says, mercy, show up. His mercy showed up. When his mercy showed up, he says, I don't care who's right. I don't care who's wrong. I don't care what you've done. He says, mercy, show up. See, David understood one thing about his dad, and that is God could not watch him suffer too long. See, you got to understand the relationship that you have with God. And the relationship that you have with God is to bring you in communion, to come into union with God. Where I'm going through something, but I'm one with God. And if God doesn't fail, that means I can't fail. Because I abide in him and he's abiding in me. If I'm wrapped up in him, he's wrapped up in me. And if he's hiding me in his secret place, you don't hear me this morning. So, watch this in closing. Watch this. And so, Ornan says to David, he says, do you need something to build an altar? In other words, he says, do you need to build a pulpit? He says, I give you everything you need. I give you everything. I give you everything. I give you everything you need. I give you everything. I'll give you everything you need. I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything that you need to build a pulpit. And he says, come on in and do it on the threshing floor. He says, come on and do it in the church. Where the word of God is supposed to separate the good and the evil in you. Come on and do it on the threshing floor. Now see, the power of the threshing floor is not when you stand up in the church. The power of the threshing floor is when you really go down on the floor. See, the power is always from the floor up. It's the power that I can get in touch with God. It's the power when everybody walks out, but I still got something going on in the threshing room floor. You may not want to hear me, but I can take my issues. I can take my problems down on bending knees. Have you ever been going through something? Found yourself on bending knees. In here, lifter, won't even get you out of a mess. Won't even lift you out of something. On the threshing room floor. Now listen, I appreciate you wanting to give me my offering. But your offering brings you blessing. He says in verse number 24, he says, I won't give my God anything that did not cost me something. You've been through hell and back. You've been through the storms and you're still standing. People look at you and people see your glory, but they don't know the story. They don't know how much that thing cost you. When you find yourself praising God and somebody looking at you crazy, I don't care if you're looking at me like I'm crazy. I've been through hell to find this place. Too much just to get my praise on. You can't stop me from praising God. I've been through something, and so now I come on the threshing room floor, and if I want to get my praise on, you just have to stand back, because I'm going to praise God. When I come to him and I begin to praise him, he understands everything that I've gone through, and I'm still standing. Enemies trying to take me out, but I'm still standing. So what I'm giving him is priceless to me. It's my praise. Come on and give him some praise this morning. He says it's priceless. pay for it. God knows the heart of a man. So David was thinking, if I take my tithes and offer it, and if I see it, not get it, let me fix you. That which you give, don't ever expect to get it back. Let me come closer to your house. You gave your brother, sister, uncle, everybody else the money. It's gone, baby. It's gone. Don't expect to get that back because you gave it. But what I see, I'll see my offering. David was trying to do good, but good independent of God is nothing, because your righteousness is as filthy rags. And so God knew his heart and said, I like that boy right there, because he means well. So he wants to give it because he had to pay for it. Then, if David, Old Testament, represents God, New Testament, David was a shadow of the things to come. But David had an affair with Bathsheba. So David could die for me. David killed Uriah. He meant well, but he wasn't clean. I tried Abraham, Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Malachi, Ruth, Naomi. I tried Jesse. I tried Saul. I tried Jonathan. Yeah. But they all had issues. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said, Let us. In the beginning, I created, but let us. Now he wasn't senile. In the beginning was the Word. The Word says, when I sin, the Holy Spirit is going to be sin. So when God was having that conversation in Genesis, he was talking to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he says, now David wanted to pay for it, but David, that's not good enough. He says, I'll take myself, God, wrap myself in a body, call my name Emmanuel, which means God is with you. And he says that when I step on this earth, born of a woman, but the Holy Spirit impregnated her, so there's no sin nature. And just in case you think there is, I'll give you the blood of the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb, I want you to be saved by this blood and not by the blood of God. So he says, this is what the blood represents.
Thank you.
That I cleanse you from that. I've washed you in the blood of the Lamb. And he says, and the bread represents Emmanuel, me, God, with you. And he says, as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, this do show remembrance of me until I come. Love will never fail. He says, about me, that my love never fail. This do in remembrance of me. I'll never fail you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You come and say, God, I remember your promise. I remember when you say, by your stripes I'm healed. I remember you said, I'll never leave me. So I'm coming.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Into communion.
Yeah.
With you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming. See, David gave his offering and it fell short.
All right.
God says, I'll give my offering.
Yes, yes.
For God so loved the world, love never fails. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so that son stretched forth on an old rugged cross. And when they nailed him to the cross, I need for you to understand, at any second, any moment, he could have called the same archangel.
That's right.
The same angel that showed up for David, God could have called him through Jesus Christ. But he says, it's not the nails that's holding me.
All right now. All right.
It's the love that I have.
Yes,
I can come down.
Oh, yes.
But if I come down, you can't go up. So I'm going to stay up. So it makes possible for you to come up with me. Because.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
You believe in God? He says, believe also in me.
Yeah.
In my Father's house, there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, Jesus says, but I go.
Yeah.
I go.
Yes.
I go. To prepare.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
A place for you.
All right.
I know somebody here is going through a storm.
Thank you, Lord.
And you want God to take you off the cross? And just lift you up. Watch this. When Jesus came down from the cross, after he gave up the ghost, your Bible declares in Colossians 2:14, it says, now Jesus went down in hell.
Alright now.
You can open your Bible and read if you like.
Alright now.
And Jesus went down in hell.
That's right.
It says, and he released all those that was in captivity.
Yeah.
You don't hear me.
Yeah.
He went to hell because that's his hell.
Yeah.
He's in control, not Satan. So he can go in and out as he pleases. I'm talking about my daddy.
Yeah.
So he goes down. And all of those that fell short, he says, I came to release them. And then he got up.
Thank you, Lord.
He came back and he showed himself on earth.
Yes.
And here comes Abraham, Isaac, Samuel, Saul, Jonathan. They all coming behind him because he has released them. That's why he gave up the ghost so he can go back and get the ghost. No man took it. I gave it. What you going through, you think you lost? Nobody took it. He gave it. If he gave it, he can give it back. I bet he left you a stock there. I bet he left you some promise of restoration. Even if you lost everything, he left a stock. He left a memory of it. So you can know, God, I've been there before. Bring it back again.
Thank you, Lord.
His love never fails. So when God seeded his only begotten son, that seed gave life to you. His love never fails. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to invite you to do something. In a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to participate in Holy Communion.
All right now.
I pray that by the grace of God, you understand why we're doing it.
Amen.
The Bible then Spirit speaks and say, many are sick among you.
Oh, yes. Yes.
In other words, if you're not a child of God, he says, don't eat from this table.
All right, now.
Because you haven't paid for it.
All right.
When you go to Red Lobster, you got to pay those folks for the food.
Yes,
God says, stop coming to my house eating my bread. Drinking my wine. And not paying for it.
All right.
When you pay for your meal, that extra that you leave is called a tip.
All right now.
Stop tipping God.
All right. All right.
And walking out without paying for the meal. Communion brings us into oneness with God.
Yes, Lord.
It says, God, I'm a part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
I've been bought, redeemed, purchased with the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
That's what this is about. It happened at the table. It happened at the table. When you come this morning for Holy Communion, I want you to think about what you're doing.
All right, now.
I want you to think about what you're doing. But before we move there, to that person that is not a part of the body of Christ, we want to extend an invite to you. Because you have to be a part of the body in order to eat from the table.
All right, now.
So as the deacons come and we prepare the table, I say to you, if you don't have a church home, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, give God your life today. Do you know Him? Does He live in your heart? Does He live in your soul? You understand Jesus died on the cross? That paid the price. He says all you have to do now is just come. That's all. Just come. Grace is presented to you in a gift. It doesn't cost you anything. He said just receive salvation. With everyone. No church home. Maybe you do. God has just placed you here. Take that chance.